Hi.
This is Birds Make Birds.
You're listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
Medford.
Good
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the JumboCast radio show on 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. We are JumboCast, Tufts' only student broadcasting club. I'm Owen Finnegan, joined alongside by Lucas Pyle and Daniel Mahoney, and we are here to talk sports. But before we do that, how are you, gentlemen?
Doing good. You know, doing good. Just signed up for classes.
So, oh, congratulations.
You know, signed up, got what I wanted. So yeah, should be, hopefully that went well, so hopefully it'll be a good weekend for Tufts sports. A lot of big games, a lot of big playoff games, NCAA starting, so should be a good weekend.
Yeah. Daniel, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Also signed up for classes. Of course, the engineers, they took away a couple things.
They take everything.
It's true.
They took my sheep class.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I was devastated about that. Yeah, I wanted to take like the knitting class, and they just scooped it right from under me. I couldn't believe it. Anyways, if you're a new listener, first of all, welcome. This show is every other Friday at 10 a.m. And again, it is run by JumboCast. Please visit us at TuftsJumboCast.com. Follow us on Twitter at JumboCast. Like our Facebook page at TuftsJumboCast, et cetera, et cetera. But if you've ever watched Tufts sporting event on YouTube, chances are it was us that was running it. So this radio show is just to give a recap of some Tufts sports, some professional sports, so on and so forth. But like Lucas mentioned, we have a extremely busy weekend. In fact, Daniel can probably confirm this, but I think it's one of the busiest weekends we've ever had in terms of a club.
Certainly in the time that I've been here, we've got a whole volleyball regional, which is 7 games, because it's 3 full rounds of the tournament, and we've got a soccer regional that's 3 games as well, so it's a busy one.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just move chronologically, shall we? So coming up first is the volleyball regional. Let's see if I can name the teams that are playing today. So at 12:30, we have... I actually have no idea who's playing at 12:30.
12:30 is Johnson Wales versus Maine Maritime.
Johnson Wales versus Maine Maritime. 3:30 is Babson versus UMass Boston.
Right.
5 is Bowdoin versus who's Bowdoin playing?
Endicott.
Yes. Endicott. And then 8 o'clock is Tufts versus hang on, I got this. Eastern Nazarene.
That's right.
So, 4 games just today, starting at 12:30 and ending at probably 9:30. So there'll be 9 hours of JumboCast to be broadcasted today, which is super exciting. But let's talk about Tufts volleyball, who just won this past weekend, just defeated Bowdoin in an absolute stunner to win the NESCAC for the first time since 1996, so before any of us in this room were even born, which is really quite impressive. And I think that's a stat that surprises a lot of people, because Tufts volleyball, this program has been so dominant, especially the last 4 or 5 years, like with the senior class when they were freshmen, always been at the top of the NESCAC, have made the NCAA tourney 3 times, have hosted it twice, and yet have never won the NESCAC. It's quite surprising. So this year was finally the year.
Yeah, I went to, a couple of us were there at the quarterfinal game on Friday. I went to that, and they were just completely dominant, in the mood. Hamilton really didn't stand a chance at the number 8 seed. Of course, then they beat Middlebury on Saturday, another 3-0, but then a really tough game against Bowdoin, and I wasn't able to go, but when I saw the score, obviously super excited, but a little surprised that it was as close as it was, because back in September, late September, they completely brushed aside Bowdoin here in Medford, so I was a little surprised to see the 3-2, especially the final set being decided by just those 2 points, 15-13. But of course, a win's a win, especially in a championship game. So they should definitely be happy about how they've done.
Totally.
Yeah, it was a really exciting game. I managed to be there, and it was a great atmosphere. Bowdoin traveled really well. There was a good showing from Bowdoin parents. But I was glad to see lots of Tufts fans, student section cheering us on, and when it got to the 5th set, it was back and forth the entire time until we managed to pull it out at the end.
not speaking into the microphone. But what I was going to say is just echoing everything that you guys said. I mean, that was one of the craziest games of volleyball I think I've ever seen. I don't think any of us are really expecting Bowdoin this year to be the challenger for Tufts for the NESCAC tournament. I think everybody had Wesley encircled on their calendar. But Bowdoin beat Wesleyan, which is crazy. If anybody was wondering, with the NESCAC win, actually these numbers are a little bit outdated. They haven't updated the national rankings in about 2 weeks, which is pretty typical. But in terms of November 3rd, which is the last time these were updated, Tufts is coming in at the 14th team in the nation. And in terms of other Northeastern teams, Babson is coming in at number 18, so they'll be playing at 3:30. And Johnson and Wales, who is playing at 12:30? 12:30?
Yes,
Johnson and Wales is playing at 12:30, is number 21st in the country. We mentioned Wesleyan as well. They're coming in at 24th. So a very strong year for Northeast volleyball, which you actually don't always see, especially outside of the NESCAC. So very exciting. I actually am interested to see if if Wesleyan made the tournament. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
They did. So they play at 12:30 as well. I believe in, I don't know. I think Clarkson might be the host. They're in a different segment.
What on earth is Clarkson?
I don't know.
I think I've heard of Clarkson.
I've never heard of Clarkson in my entire
Clarkson
life.
Clarkson University, that private university in Potsdam, New York.
All right.
So there you go.
I guess Connecticut to New York isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Other number one seeds in the tournament. Well, I guess I'm not very good at reading these, but I think it's Johns Hopkins, which is unsurprising. I think they're number like two or three. Emory, which is unsurprising. I know they're number one. And then it's Tufts is hosting, Clarkson is hosting, like we just mentioned, and yeah, is that everyone? No,
I think that's just the top half.
Okay. Oh wow, there's a whole category of the tournament that's already been played. Do you see that?
Yeah. So it turns out there are some schools, I think mainly for religious reasons, where instead of they don't have games on Sundays, of having the tournament be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they do Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. St. Thomas beating Dubuque, Wisconsin Stevens Point beating Augsburg, St. Benedict, which sounds like one of those religious schools you were saying, beat Wisconsin Eau Claire, and St. Olaf beat Northwestern St. Paul. So a little Midwest action there. Yeah. It seems like Wisconsin has a lot of good volleyball teams. Also, Calvin beating DePauw? DePauw?
I would say DePauw, but I have no idea.
I'm going to go with DePauw.
Calvin, I think, is the number one or number two team in the country.
I believe so.
And then Hope beating UT Dallas. I think we played Hope. We being Tufts played Hope a couple years back. If I'm not
in the tournament?
Tournament, yeah.
I think that's right.
And I just remember thinking, like, wow, this college is just called Hope. What a name, right?
Pretty positive.
Yeah. It is the best. Hope. The best part of D3 tournaments is just the weird college names that you get. You know what I mean? Like, but then it's like, then you kind of have to be a little bit self-reflective where you're like, okay, maybe someone from Muskingum University is looking at Tufts and being like, the school is called Tufts and they have an elephant as their mascot. Like, what is this place? So I guess it comes right back to us. Cool. Yeah.
There's a Notre Dame in the tournament.
Yes, but it is Notre Dame,
Maryland. Yeah.
So disappointing.
Do you know where that is?
Daniel, of course, I don't.
Being a Maryland native.
No, I've definitely heard of it, but I don't know where it is.
So there's actually not a ton of, actually, I kind of take that back. There are a lot of Massachusetts schools, now that I'm looking at it, because in our corner of the bracket, we have us, Eastern Nazarene, which is actually in Quincy, Massachusetts, which is right down the red line.
Quincy Market.
Endicott, which is in Boston, and Babson, which is in Wellesley, and UMass Boston, which is also on the red line. So actually three teams, a little red line battle. this weekend. And then on the other side of the bracket, the one where Clarkson's hosting, it's Westfield State, which is in Westfield, and then Wellesley, which is in Wellesley. So I don't know, I've never associated Massachusetts with being sort of a volleyball state, but I guess in terms of D3 we kind of are.
I was looking back at some of the like history, D3, like previous winners of the D3 volleyball tournament, and you're right, where there aren't really any Northeastern teams.
No, never. There's never.
California, yeah. Some Texas or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a chance. And because in D3 they schedule pretty much by the region at this point to minimize travel for everyone, there's going to be someone from our division, which will be someone from the Northeast, in the Elite Eight. So you never know.
Never know. You're right. Never know. Yeah, I mean, in terms of our, let's just zoom back into our corner of the bracket. A lot of really interesting storylines. One we already hit on, which was Tufts and Bowdoin could be meeting each other tomorrow at 5 p.m., assuming Tufts beats Eastern Nazarene and Bowdoin beats Endicott, which is particularly notable because that's just a rematch of the NESCAC final game. So they'll be meeting each other again for the second time in 6 days,
yeah.
Which just sounds exhausting if you're an athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I have to do this again after like barely scraping one out against them. So definitely tune into that. Of course, we will be covering that. And then there is a possibility, assuming Babson beats UMass Boston, which, by the way, if I was a betting man, no hate to UMass Boston, I'm a big fan of UMass Boston. If I was a betting man, I would put my life savings on Babson beating UMass Boston 3-0. Babson is the number, 18th team in the country, and then UMass Boston is 12-18.
So they have a losing record.
They have a losing record, that's yeah.
Right. Wow.
So quite a mismatch, which you get sometimes in these early stages of
right.
D3 tournaments,
yeah.
Because if you win your conference, you get an automatic bid.
Yep.
And I think UMass Boston is in the Little East, which isn't a particularly good volleyball conference. So it's just weird how that happens sometimes. Regardless, assuming both those teams make it to the final stage of this weekend's tournament, which would be Sunday at 1 p.m., it would be Tufts against Babson, which is notable because Babson is the one in the Tufts, 27-1?
Yeah,
27-1 record. So one of the few teams that has actually taken a set from us, and then one of the few teams that, or the only team, rather, that has beaten us.
So the NCAA making it tough on Tufts here, put them in a really like tricky part of the bracket, having to potentially play Bowdoin again and then Babson. That makes it difficult to even get to like the round of 16, Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's a given for sure, yeah.
Yeah, just looking at, we mentioned those two teams, but also Tufts has played a couple other teams in our bracket. There's one weekend, in fact, that Tufts played Bowdoin, Johnson Wales, and Maine Maritime. Right. And they're all in our bracket, but
I remember us beating Johnson and Wales 3-0, even though that was a point in the season where we were ranked quite low and Johnson Wales was ranked number 5.
Mm.
So that was actually sort of what put us on the rankers' radar, was that win. Although, I'm not totally sure, but I think there might have been an important player missing for Johnson and Wales. So it'll be interesting to see if there is a potential rematch against them. Of course, they'll have to get through Babson in order to make that possible. And we would have to get through Bowdoin and Eastern Nazarene to make that possible. That would be an interesting one to watch as well. Great. Cool.
Yeah. Well, another big sport that's happening this weekend, of course, Tufts men's soccer hosting. This weekend, they're playing Maritime New York in their round of 64 game at 1 on Saturday, which, of course, we'll be covering. We're covering all the soccer here, but they're coming off a NESCAC championship win against Middlebury last weekend in Amherst. So the team has, you know, ended their season well after having a bit of that tricky patch in early October. They've ended the season, or the NESCAC season, strong, and now, of course, they are specialists in the NCAA tournament, so hopefully they'll be looking for a back-to-back NCAA wins. Of course, winning last year 2-1 in the final, I believe, against Calvin. And I believe Calvin Arrow was one of the players who scored in that game. So it should be an exciting weekend for Tufts Soccer. Of course, hosting once again.
So Luke's given us a nice teaser into what we're going to talk about after this break. But just to give our voices a quick break, we're going to play a song, and we will be right back with more sports talk and more talk about the men's soccer D3 tournament. So once again, thank you all for joining in, and we will be back in 1 second.
you give me a fever, baby. I've been burning thinking about you. I like you for so many reasons. Be my love, love me for all seasons. Fever gripping on my mama, take me to the doctor. She can bring me down with no mess, no holy water. Cause I like being this hot, hot, hot girl. Reminds me of what we got, got. I know my heart, my soul, my mind are telling me it's true.
Back to the JomoCast Radio Show on 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show, but if you want to offer your take on tough sports or just call in to chat with us, please call 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We'd love to hear your opinions. But before that break, Lucas was telling us how the men's soccer team at Tufts is hosting the first round of the NCAA D3 tournament. And I think, Lucas, you're probably our residential soccer expert right now, so we'd love to hear your takes.
Well, of course, they're coming off a big win against Middlebury last weekend in Amherst. Ooh. Just check in.
Wait, who do they beat?
They beat Middlebury. Of course, I'm very excited about that. Of course, I have to be. Max Jacobs and Joe Braun getting the two goals, so the two strikers scoring. Just looking at the highlights right here, some very composed finishes. I think Joe Brown's celebration was certainly a good one as well. I think he was imitating some Marvel character. I don't know. I'm not really familiar, but it was funny nonetheless. I enjoyed it. But Tufts, you know, they've been very good in the NCAA tournament. Of course, winning 2014, winning 2016, winning 2018. But in NESCAC, that's actually sort of been a bit of a tricky spot for them. They've seemed to always be getting knocked out in the quarterfinals. But winning it this year, as they did in 2017, both times against Middlebury. But this time out in Amherst, because Amherst, who were the number one seed in NESCAC, lost to Middlebury in a bit of a shock defeat. And I think it's always interesting. I've always thought about this. But having, you know, a final championship game like for NESCAC where the host school is not playing. And I wonder how that affects the atmosphere, because I haven't experienced that before. You know, whenever I've gone to a championship game, usually the school's hosting. So Tufts, when it was here in 2017,
right,
or when I was younger watching Middlebury, when they would if they hosted. So I always wondered like how that affects the atmosphere on that final day. But you know, Tufts getting the win, and of course now starting their NCAA campaign, playing, I believe, against Sunny Maritime, and the winner of that playing WPI or Nazareth College. And then I believe this would be the only chance that Tufts would get to host NCAA soccer. So this is potentially the last chance we get to see some of these fantastic seniors who have been such a big part of this Tufts program, players like Gavin Tasker, Zach Lane, Biagio Pauletta, you know, the rock of this team. So hopefully, you know, Tufts goes out strong and can claim a back-to-back championship win. Should be exciting.
Yeah, sort of shifting gears a little bit, actually. I noticed Middlebury got presumably an at-large bid into the tournament, mm-hmm. playing against right. Johnson and Wales tomorrow at 3:30. Is it a surprise that they got that at large bid due to their like record and performance outside of the tournament?
I think making it to the final of NESCAC helps. And I think they were, so they actually had a really good run in the NESCAC tournament because I believe they beat, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just going to quickly check, but I believe they beat Connecticut College in the first round. And that was also a big win because Connecticut College is in the tournament as well.
Yeah, and I just realized, so is Amherst. So yeah, I didn't know this, but four NESCAC soccer teams are in this tournament. That's got to be some sort of record. NESCAC, it's half the conference.
Yeah, so Amherst gets in because they were the number one team in NESCAC, and their record was impeccable. And actually, they got a better ranking than Tufts because their overall record in general was better than Tufts, even including the NESCAC playoffs. But Middlebury getting in, I think they had to go on a good playoff run in the NESCAC tournament. And of course, they did that.
Right.
I'm not sure how far they'll get in NCAAs. I'm expecting they'll probably, maybe they win a first game, but after that, I'm not expecting much from them. But yeah, just quickly look at, they beat Conn College in PKs in their quarterfinal and then beat Amherst. So that was a probably huge win at Amherst versus the host side. So, you know, good for Middlebury, good for the Panthers. Of course, Alex Elias, their coach, who's a former player for them, won the national championship with them and now leading them into the NCAA tournament. So that's good for the Panthers.
Yeah, pardon my cough, but just some statistics to back up sort of what we were just talking about. But Middlebury actually outside the top 25, at least according to the most recent November 3rd D3 rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And Tufts at number 5, which I imagine probably gets bumped up a little bit having won the NESCAC since then.
Ma'am.
Do either of you have any insight into the other teams in our corner of the bracket this weekend, being SUNY Maritime, WPI, and Nazareth?
Not much insight. I know that I've heard some talk about, I think this first game Tufts should win. All I know is that the first game Tufts should win. Of course, they have to, you know, show up, perform well, but I think that they're expected to win this first game. Apart from that, I'm not entirely sure, but knowing Tufts and knowing their quality, they're always going to be for most of these games throughout the tournament, they're going to be the favorite, probably up until the Elite Eight round or Final Four round.
Did we lose to WPI or am I making that up?
We lost this season. Babson.
Yeah, our two losses, I believe, are to Babson and Amherst.
Okay,
yeah.
I must have totally made that up. I don't know where I was getting that. We haven't even played WPI. So this is actually interesting because we haven't played, it looks like, any of these teams so far this season in our portion of the bracket.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of notable. It's kind of the opposite of what was going on with volleyball.
Right.
Yeah, let's take a look at the other side of the bracket before we finish, other areas of the bracket before we finish up talking about Tufts soccer. But Johns Hopkins hosting, so Conn College will be there. Amherst hosting. Notable teams are Keene State, who Tufts beat earlier in this season. Eastern Nazarene, who is playing in the volleyball tournament today, is sending their soccer team tomorrow to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in upstate New York. Of course, we mentioned Middlebury versus Johnson in Wales, which will be a good game. And also Babson, who we were just talking about, is also in the tournament. So successful fall season for Babson.
I think another team to always look out for is Calvin, who, of course, Tufts beat in the final last year. Mm. Just checking their record, they're 19-1-1, so it's another strong year for them. So they're, of course, going to be certainly one of the favorites. But yeah, should be another exciting D3 men's soccer NCAA tournament.
Cool. Any other storylines for Tufts soccer that we should be aware of?
Well, just quickly shifting gears over to the women's soccer team for Tufts. They had a little bit of a disappointing end to their NESCAC season. They had a great regular season and actually came out on top as the number one seed in NESCAC, which I think surprised a few people just because it's such a strong division that's been dominated by Williams and Middlebury the past couple seasons. But Tufts were really strong, got the number one seed, even though they lost to Middlebury in one of their final games of the season. They started off well, beat Bowdoin 2-1. I was at the game. a solid performance from Tufts. I believe the goal scorers on the day were Liz Reed and Sophie Lloyd. But then a really disappointing defeat this past weekend against Amherst, and they actually lost 3-0, which I was a little bit surprised to see. They beat Amherst in the regular season 2-1, so to lose 3-0 at home, a bit disappointing. Amherst actually going on to win the NESCAC championship, which was also a surprise because there was still Williams in the tournament, still Middlebury in the tournament. They beat Middlebury 1-0. So that's actually, you know, huge for an Amherst side coming into the Final Four of the NESCAC. That was probably, if people were ranking who they thought was going to win, they'd probably put Amherst last. But So that's big for Amherst. But of course, now Tufts going into the NCAA tournament playing Cortland. They're having to go all the way down to, forget where they have to travel. I'm not sure if they have to travel for. Okay.
Yeah.
New Jersey. So they're playing Cortland. Oh, yeah, of course. New Jersey. So they have to travel a far way. But I believe if they had won NESCAC, they would have been hosting. So that's, you know, a little disappointing, but hopefully they can go on a solid run in the NCAA tournament. And of course, they could potentially meet Williams, an NESCAC rival, in the round of 16, I believe, potentially.
Yeah, taking a look at, the national rankings for women's soccer. Again, a lot of Northeastern teams up here, a lot of NESCAC teams as well. We see TCNJ, who we are going to visit this weekend, coming in at number 4, which is pretty surprising, with a 14-1-1 in record. MIT at number 5, Middlebury at number 9, and Tufts comes in right in the middle at number 13. Below Tufts is, like you were saying, Lucas, Amherst at number 20, mm-hmm. and Williams actually at 24.
Okay.
With the 9-4-2 record.
So Williams, I guess, not having as good of it, because they were fantastic last season. Just showing the quality of NESCAC, sending 4 teams, which I think is incredible, just like in the men's side. And then, of course, how many from in volleyball? Did they send only 2?
I think it was 3. Tufts, Bowdoin, and Wesleyan.
So for a conference of, 10, 11 teams, I think that's pretty incredible that they're able to send that many teams.
Totally. Yeah.
NESCAC is a powerhouse when it comes to D3. There are 64 spots in a lot of these tournaments, and something like 40-some different conferences that get automatic bids.
Wow.
So we take up, of the 20 to 30 remaining at large bids, we take up 2 or 3 of those just from us, our conference.
Cool.
I'll just quickly mention as well the last fall sport having their tournament starting this weekend is field hockey. Tufts last year lost in the finals to Middlebury. It was a good season for Tufts. They lost, I think it was 3 games the entire season, all 3 to Middlebury.
Really?
Yeah. So this year, they're in the tournament. They will not be hosting. They're going to Johns Hopkins. But they'll be playing Denison in the first round tomorrow.
So does that mean that they rank Johns Hopkins as a Northeast school? If we have to travel to them?
So in field hockey, it's a little bit different. They only have 24 teams in the tournament instead of 64.
Okay.
So it's a little bit less regional since there's so few teams. But just looking at the bracket, it looks like more than half of the 24 are from the East Coast in some way. So
I was saying traveling to Johns Hopkins is kind of a long, trip, right? Isn't that Baltimore?
It is. Yeah. More Maryland.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Again, taking a look at the field hockey national rankings. Number 1. Does anybody have a guess?
Middlebury.
Number 2.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. Number 1 is TCNJ.
Wow.
Once again. So TCNJ kind of sneaking into these national rankings. Middlebury number 2. A college I've never heard of, Salisbury, is number 3. And
I believe that's also in Maryland.
Oh, no kidding. Really? Is Maryland like a field hockey state?
I guess.
Towson number 4, Bowdoin number 5, Johns Hopkins number 6, Williams number 8, and Bates actually number 17, and Colby number 19. So again, the NESCAC permeating these national rankings. I'll give you two a quick break because I have to read a public service announcement, seeing as we're just about halfway through, a little more than halfway through the episode here. But this is a ladder safety PSA. There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. This is a public service announcement from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO and Medford Tufts Community Radio. Once again, this is 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. And again, if you want to call in, the number is 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Thank you all for listening to that public service announcement. I guess an appropriate transition here would be to talk about the other tough sports that we've talked about tough sports that are sort of nearing the end of their season. We should talk about the one tough sports that's starting its season this weekend. So I'll play a quick tune, and when we get back, we'll talk about Tufts basketball. All right. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be right back.
when I get
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the JumboCast radio show. Just to give a rundown of the songs we've listened to so far on the show, because I realized I forgot to do that. You just listened to Post Animal with his with their song, When I Get Home. Before that, it was Just Friends with their new single, Fever. And to start off the show, we listened to Pip Blom with her song, Babies Are a Lie. So we sort of teased this before we took a break for music, but... starting actually this weekend was supposed to be the home Tufts was supposed to host the tip-off tournament, as they almost always do every year, Tufts basketball, that is, but it did have to get moved due to some scheduling issues with the amount of volleyball games that had to be played this weekend for the tournament. So that actually got moved to UMass Boston, which is interesting for two reasons. The first being UMass Boston is not in that tournament, and the second being that UMass Boston's gym is currently under construction. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It should be a very interesting year for women's and men's basketball alike, and I'll let you two sort of give the overview of why that is.
Yeah, well, so for women's basketball, the big storyline from the offseason was the coach, Carla Berube, longtime coach who led Tufts team to national championship game and multiple Final Fours, left to become the coach at Princeton. So the new coach will be Jill Pace, who was the head coach at Pomona Pitzer previously, and I believe she was an assistant coach here at Tufts as well a few years ago. But the team is still looking to be pretty good. The main loss will be from Jack Knapp, who is the star senior who graduated last year, but we still have some big names, Erica DeCandido notably, leading the team.
Another notable change was a student who transferred. So Lucas, do you want to talk about that transfer student a little?
I remember.
Talked a lot about it this JumboCast season.
It was a transfer to UConn, if I'm remembering correctly, and
you
believe it was Jeanette Wadalowski, which actually I thought was a big loss for Tufts. Even though she wasn't a starter, I always felt that she was a good shooter for the team. So that's another loss in the squad, of course, losing Jack Knapp. But I think, you know, they still have four of their five starters from last year. So I think the team, and, you know, defensively, I still think they're going to be strong. That's always, that was their strong point last year. I think, you know, scoring wise, you know, you have DeCandido. I think Molly Ryan will step up in Jack Knapp's absence. So they've, you know, they've got a solid team. They're coming off being, you know, NESCAC champions, had their Elite Eight game gone a bit differently. They were in the driver's seat to go to the Final Four. You know, something just happened in that fourth quarter, but
that was,
you know,
a tough one. I remember. Forgot about that.
I think overall they were the better team. It's just, you know, things happen in sports.
I actually think Daniel and I were watching. Weren't we watching that together in my house?
I think we were.
Yeah, that was tough.
I was watching that in Carm. that was tough. I've had a couple bad experiences of watching sports games in Carm, but. That was a little disappointing, but I think winning the NESCAC in general, especially beating Amherst and then beating Bowdoin, those were two huge wins, winning at Bowdoin. So that was such a big part of that season that I think last year should be considered a success.
Right.
And I think this season, being competitive again in NESCAC will certainly be the goal.
Yeah, I'm interested to see just, you know, with the new coach and with the graduation of Jack Knapp and with the transfer of Jeanette Wadalowski, if this team sort of takes on like a new identity to be sort of a more like post
centered offense, if that makes sense. We have two players who really impressed me last season just in the games that I watched. Sophia Rosa, it's either Rosa or Rosas. I think it's Rosa.
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 Yeah, I think so.
And Emily Briggs.
Yeah.
Two, first of all, very tall players and two really good post players. So I'm interested to see if they sort of take the lead in the offense this upcoming season for the women's basketball team. Also, we should keep an eye on the Princeton women's basketball team
as the season
progresses. I wonder if they have started their season yet. But who are they playing this weekend, Daniel?
Who's Tufts playing?
Yeah, I totally forget.
That is a good question.
I totally forget the teams.
It is Roger Williams first, so that's tonight at 8, okay. And then New Paltz tomorrow.
New what?
New Paltz. That's another SUNY team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Roger Williams.
And then, of course, we're doing our first basketball game of the season Monday night against the University of New England. So I'll be commentating that game with Ethan, so that should be an exciting game.
Is that a men's game or a women's game?
That's a women's basketball.
Women's game. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of the men's team, I actually don't have much to say because I don't think the landscape of that team has changed very much from last year to this year.
Yeah, so they have all their starters returning, which is really good. And last season wasn't quite what they hoped, but in the tournament, they were the 8 seed going to the tournament, and then they were the first men's basketball team ever in NESCAC history, I believe, to knock off the number one team in the first round. So certainly some...
That was awesome.
Some light there. That's a good sign heading into this season. And we're still just the one senior, I think, Eric Savage. So we'll still be competitive this season and next.
They knocked off my Panthers. That was... For context, we were actually doing the women's basketball game at the same time.
Right.
They're playing Williams. Right. They're Tufts was number 3 seed, I believe. Williams number 6. Tufts comfortably beating Williams, which of course love to see, Tufts to any team beating Williams for that matter. So they're comfortably beating Williams, up by I think it was like 18 or something going into the fourth quarter. And we keep getting updates from the Tufts game versus at Middlebury for the men's team. Close game. Tufts up by 2. Tufts up by 3. And I'm like, oh, what is happening? Because I try to support all the Tufts teams. But when it comes to basketball, I have to stick with my heart, and that's Middlebury basketball. But they let me down. But that was a big part of Tufts season last year. Winning as an 8th seed after having, as Daniel, as you were saying, a bit of a so-so regular season. That's always got to be considered a bright spot. So hopefully they can build off of that try and maybe go further in the NESCAC tournament.
Yeah, so it's interesting for us, at least in my 4 years and y'all's 3 years here at Tufts, to see two teams where they're sort of still trying to find an identity and are just like running over the NESCAC. There's very few times where I feel like we've seen teams sort of have that issue. Usually we've been pretty good. Should be an interesting couple of seasons for the women's and men's basketball team. Unfortunately, I don't know where you can watch the tournament this weekend because we will not be hosting it because it is in Dorchester, not Medford. But in terms of the rest of your men's and women's basketball needs, JumboCast will be covering the majority of them this season, so we look forward to you tuning in. I guess with the last 8 minutes left in the show, we can sort of transition to professional sports. I'll let either of you take it wherever you want.
Because, did someone say lightning round?
Yeah, ooh, a little lightning round. Okay, I could do a little lightning round. I guess I'll be the commissioner for this lightning round. First sport we're going to be talking about is, and you're going to get 60 seconds per sport. All right.
Ooh.
So starting with the.
Here, wait. I have a clock.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect.
I got the 1 minute. Okay.
Ready? 1 minute starting now. Starting. Okay. One
you
minute about
sport first.
Yeah. Premier League.
Cool.
1 minute starting now.
Okay. Well, if I only have 1 minute, then there's only one thing I can talk about, and that's Arsenal. You know, I went to New York. I gotta go quickly. Went to New York City this weekend for the long weekend. Had a great time with some friends. On the way up, I thought I wasn't gonna be able to watch the game. Turns out I could do a hotspot. Got it on the computer. Watch Arsenal lose disappointingly to Leicester. And just, I expressed this concern. If any of you follow me on Instagram, not expecting money to, but expressed this concern. You know, I'm just numb. Just don't feel like, you know, I watch and there's disappointment, but there's no excitement there. There's no passion there. The manager's got to go. The Arsenal board have absolutely bottled that decision in not sacking him. Emery's got to go. You know, he's not a bad guy, but he's a bad manager for this club. He's got to go. That's my spiel on the Premier League. Hopefully it turns around for Arsenal.
Wow, running right at 1 minute. That's awesome. All right, Daniel, next 1 minute. Maybe a little bit of a, not totally hometown for you, but pretty close. MLB World Series. 1 minute, starting now.
Yes, well, very exciting for all the DC fans. The Nationals, with a thrilling series against the Astros, managed to win in 7 games, and yet they didn't even win once at home. but it was a great season for the Nationals. Of course, everyone, all the Nats will remember that early in May, they were below 500. Wow. People were counting them out, but they came back, beat the Dodgers, knocked off Kershaw in the first round. But of course, recently, the development has been around the Astros and their scandal about the sign stealing. And
disgraceful.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on still early. I'm sure there's an investigation going on within the Astros, within MLB, but the premise is that the Astros have been using a camera at their home stadium to be able to see what the catcher is signaling to the pitcher to throw, and doing things like banging on a trash can if you get off speed. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well done, ending right at the 1 minute mark. So yeah, really interesting to see what happens to the Astros, especially because there's a similar scandal with the Red Sox using like an Apple Watch a couple years back, but nothing ever really came of it. So it'll be interesting to see with some more condemning video evidence if that happens.
Typical Boston sports teams getting away with cheating, you know.
I know, right?
Where do I there's something there. I don't know.
All right, Lucas, you get 1 minute. This will be a good one for you considering the last Monday night game, but you get 1 minute to talk about the NFL.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks, big win. I'm a Seahawks fan by name. I don't really watch the games because football games are long. You know, when it comes to playoff time, you know, watch a little bit. Of course, Super Bowl, everyone watches the Super Bowl. But, you know, to see them beat the 49ers, who are finally good again after a bunch of horrible years for them in a row. I believe. Yeah, right. They haven't been doing too well the past couple seasons. 49ers.
Not particularly.
Yeah. No. So they're doing well, but Seahawks come to town and they mean business. Russell Wilson in MVP form. He had some great plays. Had a bad interception throw at one point, but a couple nice touchdown passes. I think had a really big first down carry in the overtime drive that led to the field goal. But a big win for them. Russell Wilson calling it one of the craziest games he's ever participated in. 27-24 in San Francisco. That's big for them. And I think they can go on and win the Super Bowl. I got Seahawks to win the Super Bowl.
There you got. Yeah, you heard it here first. Lucas Pyle's picks. Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. That game also had, I think, 6 fumbles, 4 of which were recovered by the defense.
Yeah.
And I'll have to double check the stat, but it was the first time in, like, you know, 100 years that a team won with that amount of fumbles. Great.
Also, just quick, last night's game wasn't terribly interesting for most of it until the fight with 8 seconds left
with
the Browns Steelers. I'm sure there'll be suspensions to come out soon, but we'll see with that. The Browns won 21-7.
The first time in history that the Browns have beaten the Ravens and the Steelers in the same season, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
My last thing on football, the amount of flags, it was the first time I turned a game off because I just couldn't stand the amount of flags.
Yeah.
It was like a flag after every play. It was crazy.
Stuff.
For last night's game?
Yeah. All right, Daniel, you get the last lightning round of the day. You get 60 seconds to talk about the NBA starting now.
All right, well, of course, the big story, especially around here, is the Boston Celtics. They've started off to a great season. Lost the first game to the 76ers, but then have won 9 in a row. Kemba Walker, the new addition to the team this season, has been great. It's already the longest win streak of his career after spending all this time on a less than stellar Hornets team. But the other big stories I'd like to see, especially in the West, are the Suns, who have surprised a lot of people coming out.
Yes.
And when they get DeAndre Ayton back, who's still injured, that'll be exciting for them. Of course, there are a lot of teams who've mixed up their rosters with this offseason, so a lot of good things to come in the NBA season.
Great.
I'm just quickly looking at the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
No, it is not.
It's not. The seventh seed's 4-7. Well, I mean, it's early on in the season.
No, the East is pretty bad. The East is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with how good the Suns are this year, it's like now the West is even better because you have Lakers, Clippers, and Suns. Crazy. It'll be interesting to see. Great. That'll just about wrap us up as we are reaching the end of our time here. Thank you all for tuning in to the JumboCast radio show. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. This is Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Owen Finnegan alongside Lucas Pyle and Daniel Mahoney. We will be broadcasting the NCAA volleyball and soccer games for the rest of this weekend, so please tune in. Visit TuftsJumboCast.com to get the links. And we will be back on air in 2 weeks, I believe, unless that's Thanksgiving break.
That is Thanksgiving.
That is Thanksgiving break. All right, so it might be a while to hear from us, but regardless, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great weekend, and maybe tune in to a couple games. All right.